over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home? It's everything is out of their control. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone whose life is on the line and they're unsure what happens after their last breath in time? And what do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through? It's so hard for them to hear the truth. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace. So don't lose hope, don't let go, don't give up, you are not alone, you are not alone. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, yeah, before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace.
How many would say that song was a help this morning? Amen. Amen. All right, Children's Church 10 and under, please be dismissed. Children's Church 10 and under, please be dismissed. As I was saying earlier, church, I really love the message in that song because the truth of the matter is there is nothing greater than grace, in particular the grace of Jesus, as it mentioned in that song. And that's really where our heart's at today. I realize that some of you have had a difficult week, and some of you, I'm aware of it, some of you I'm not. But really, whether I know is really irrelevant because the Lord knows, and He's got an answer for you. And so we hope that the message will be a help to you today. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will start reading in verse 7. And if you're able to stand in reading of God's Word, we'll ask you to do that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And starting in verse 7, Apostle Paul here speaks and says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." I find that interesting that Paul said it was given to me. It was given to him, a thorn in the flesh. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am made strong." Lord, we love you today. Thank you again for what you've already done today. Father, we're so blessed by everything that has been accomplished this weekend. Lord, just a good group of teenagers gathered together for your glory. Lord, a good group of people here working. Lord, laboring together in love. Lord, at your house today. But then we're thankful for the day that you've given us here, Lord, everyone that's here. And Father, I truly believe that we need your help. And Lord, I believe there's someone here today, God, that really needs something from you. Lord, it's not anything that I can give them. Lord, it's something only you can give. Lord, maybe they need salvation. Maybe they need some grace today to help them in time of need. Father, whatever that need may be, I pray that you'd give us that. Again, we pray that you'd minimize distractions. I pray that you just help us to focus on the message at hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Once a little girl found a cocoon hanging from a limb in the forest. She took it to her room and placed it in a jar, expecting one day to see a butterfly emerge. She saw that one day the butterfly was struggling to try to get out. It was struggling and trying to push its way through the tight opening. In an effort to help the poor insect, she carefully made a slit to open the cocoon. After that, the butterfly was able to easily exit the cocoon, but a strange thing happened. Instead of spreading two beautiful wings, the butterfly had two withered, shriveled, useless, ugly wings hanging by its side. Why? Because God designed the butterfly in his cocoon so that the tight opening would strengthen and straighten up the wings. Without the pressure of the tight opening, the butterfly was robbed of the beauty of her wings. And more importantly, she was robbed of the ability to fly in the heavens and was condemned to a life walking on the ground. I believe that there's some of you that are in a tight spot today. Just like we described here, the story of a cocoon, that obviously there's a tight spot there. And as the story that we just read describes, that God designed it to come through a tight spot, to strengthen and actually bring the beauty of what an actual butterfly is intended to do or to be. Many of you here today would say, "Well, I'm in a tight spot because of this," or "the devil's been oppressing me." And let me just say, church, that I think sometimes we give too much credit to the devil. Amen. Let me remind you that the scripture says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Right? But if you notice in our text, and I pause for a moment just for reflection and emphasis, it says there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, who do you think gave him that thorn in the flesh? God gave him that thorn in the flesh. And sometimes we think because we're facing a difficult time, that we're facing something that we weren't prepared for, we face some kind of heartache or devastation, we automatically assume, Well, the devil's trying to discourage me. And for the record, I'm very confident that he is trying to discourage you through that heartache, through that tight spot that you're in. But friend, the message is very simple. There's no secret. The Bible says that God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever tight spot that you're in, whatever difficult circumstance that you're in today, church, God's grace is sufficient for you. Now let me give you a couple quick thoughts as we get into the message about the sufficiency of God's grace. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. I'm glad that it says that, amen. I'm glad that it reminds us because I know that I'm not sufficient in myself. Now sometimes we act like it. Sometimes we think like it, amen. Sometimes we say it, we try to sit down and we're faced with life's problems and heartache and boy, we're just going to figure it out. I want to tell you, church, that we're not sufficient in ourselves to just figure it out. Amen? But the Bible says that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Now, the good news is, since sufficiency is of God, also we just heard that song that there's nothing greater than the grace of Jesus. We're reminded in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it's talking about the Word, and here the Word is Christ, amen? It says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's talking about Jesus here, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I like that part that says He dwelt among us, amen? I'm glad that Jesus didn't say, well, I'm just going to be your Savior from up in the heavens, and for the record, He could have done that if He wanted. But the Bible says He dwelt among us. He came down to the earth and experienced every possible temptation that you and I have. He dwelt among us. And it goes on to say, and we beheld His glory. The glory is one of the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father, full of, what's it say? Grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. I'm glad to tell you today that God is full of grace. And of course, He's full of truth as well. But I like that part that we're really emphasizing that Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. Amen? Now I want to tell you something, church. What really I think brought us to this place as we come into where the substance of the message is today. In the last few weeks, and I can't go into all detail yet because there's things that we're still praying about, there's things that we're still seeking answers for. We've been faced with some personal battles and circumstances in our lives. And I'm sitting back trying to figure it out on my own, right? Now, we just read that scripture. It says the sufficiency is not of ourselves. So there's my first problem, church. I'm trying to figure it out on my own. How are we going to try? I tend to be a problem solver. I was up late last night, literally till 1:30 in the morning, thinking about things here at church, thinking about things that we want to do, things that we've been praying about, how we want to do this to better this. Literally, church, I mean, those things are on my mind. And eventually, I had to shut our minds down and said, listen, we've got to get a little bit of sleep because it's going to be preaching time in the morning, amen? And I don't want to come in here and have to have about 4 coffees just to try to get a couple words out to you. But sometimes my battle, I don't know, I guess you guys probably don't battle those things where you try to figure it all out on your own. I guess I'm the only one that probably does those things. But I'm sitting here trying to figure things out, and I'm facing a personal battle. See, we got thorns in the flesh, amen? And I've got them too. Sometimes I think I got more than one, but nevertheless, I've got thorns in the flesh. Now, let me say something real quick. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Most theologians believe that it was probably some kind of physical ailment that was a hindrance to him. We don't know that 100% to be true, but it's a strong belief that it was. Now, when we think about that, church, probably God, through His infinite wisdom, did not want us to know. You know why? Because we tend to say, well, my thorn in the flesh is bigger than Paul's thorn in the flesh. So, God's grace isn't sufficient in my situations. Paul's situation wasn't as bad as mine, so he had plenty of grace for his circumstance, but my problem is bigger. And I'm actually glad that we don't know exactly what it is. What we do know is it was a hindrance. It was a problem. It was something that he battled with. Going back to what I'm saying, this thorn in the flesh. And finally, friends, something happened this week that God, the Holy Spirit of God, just clicked something in my mind and reminded me of this particular text that says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. God was simply reminding me, listen, son, go ahead and calm down, because my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen? When you get to the place when you realize how weak you are, and you start to put your sufficiency in the grace of God, now you're going to start to get strong as a child of God. Amen? So the first thing that we want to look at where God's grace is sufficient and how to deal with when you're in a tight spot is, number one today, God's grace is sufficient in salvation. God's grace is sufficient in salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. I want you to see this with me, church. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Did you notice there that he says God's grace, or the grace of our Lord, was exceeding abundant with faith and love? Amen. God's grace is abundant for you and I. Let me also add this before we go on. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God bringeth what? Salvation hath appeared unto all men. God's grace is sufficient for our salvation. Now sometimes we come to a place where I've literally had people say, I literally know someone, there's somebody on our prayer list that we pray for every single week, that in their mind, God's grace isn't sufficient for them concerning their salvation. They feel like they've been too wicked. They feel like they've strayed too far away from God. They've done too many awful things in their life that they can't possibly be saved. Friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of gross sin that you have fell into in your life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? So let's get that established now, because if you're here today and your life is just torn apart, your life is just falling apart, friend, God's grace is what you need. You need the power of God, the grace of God in your life. You need to experience the grace of God. The Bible, of course, also tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But the first thing to know today, friend, is that God's grace is sufficient in salvation. And if you're here today, friend, I'm glad to tell you that you don't have to put in an application to get saved. Amen? There's no application. Say, well, Pastor, a lot of times you have somebody come by and talk to them and show them something. We're showing them the Word of God. That's all we're showing them. Amen? First of all, I can't save them. Amen? If you've been saved by the grace of God, and I know sometimes people are new and they understand, I have not saved anybody. Amen? I have not saved any. I can't save you. If you're dependent on me to save you, you didn't get saved. Amen? Now, all we do is we take the Bible and show you how you can know for you to be saved and point you to the cross. Because Jesus is the one who saves you, friend. But I'm just here to tell you there's no application. Listen, baptism does not seal your salvation. Now, once you're saved, I'm going to come talk to you. I'm going to encourage you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, because that's a step of obedience and identification with Christ, and there's so much more. But friend, baptism does not save you. Do you remember the thief on the cross who received Christ? Do you realize that he never came down off the cross to get baptized? And Jesus did not say, well, you know, I'd sure like to take you to heaven, but you're not going to be able to get baptized, so you can't go. That's not what he said. What did Jesus say? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen? Aren't you glad? Hey, friend, I've seen people get saved on their deathbed and say, are they going to heaven? Just as much as you and I. Now, will they have the same reward based on the life that they lived? I can't answer that for you. Probably not. Amen? But friend, you can get saved. Now, I don't want you to wait till your deathbed. Because first of all, you don't know that you're going to have a deathbed opportunity to receive Christ. Friend, the time to be saved is now. The day to be saved is today. But I'm just trying to tell you, friend, that God's grace is sufficient for you. And if you're here today, and boy, it just seems like life is falling apart, the most important thing that you need today is to receive God's gift of salvation. So number one, we see that God's grace is sufficient in salvation. Number two, God's grace is sufficient in sin. God's grace is sufficient in sin. And sometimes people say, well, you know, preacher, either my sin or I have been saved, but boy, I'm just so backwards. I've strayed away from God so far. God can't possibly do anything with me. God can't possibly use me. Friend, I'm glad to tell you that ain't true. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I love this scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you catch that part, friend, that says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? You know what that's saying? That's saying that God's grace is greater than your sin. It doesn't make a difference how big your sin is. God's grace is bigger than that. Where sin did abound, God's grace did much more abound. You know what that's telling us, friend? It's not even close. Amen? I'm glad that there's nothing in there that would say, well, you know what? There's just not enough grace to cover your sin, because I'd have fell short a long time ago. Amen? But, friend, even if you've been saved today and you've strayed away from God, hey, friend, you can make things right today. You can get things settled today. You can restore your relationship and your fellowship with God before you leave today. You think, well, I'd like to start working towards it. No, friend, just get down on your knees and ask God. And as the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as it says in John chapter 1 and verse 9. But I'm here to remind you today, friend, that God's grace is sufficient for salvation, number one. Number two, God's grace is sufficient in sin. And it makes no difference where we're at today. Hey, friend, God's grace is bigger than our sin. Thank God. Number three, I want to share with you today that God's grace is sufficient in suffering. I said God's grace is sufficient in suffering. If you look at verses 10 through 11 that we just read, or let me back up. In verse number 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Friend, I want to tell you that if you look at the life of Paul, I know that he went through a time of suffering in his life. Now, when we think about suffering, let me share something with you. You ever gotten to the place where you realize that God is trying to do something in your life that you never wanted to do? You ever gotten to the place in your life where God has called you to do something that you didn't really want to do? You ever gotten to the place where God has called you to serve in a capacity to serve that you never wanted to do? God never came by and asked you what you thought about it. God never came by and asked for your opinion on it. And sometimes as a result of that, you've gone through suffering. Say, preacher, I don't know how to get through. God says that my grace is sufficient for thee. Say, preacher, I don't have the answer. God says that my grace is sufficient for thee. And I want to just be honest with you, friends. Sometimes you go by a day-to-day basis, you need to get on your knees before God, and if you have to go back and read this scripture, realize that God somehow is going to get you through today. We sometimes so focus on figuring out all the problems, we look so far ahead, we look at the overwhelming circumstances, and I realize that some of you are facing overwhelming circumstances. I'm just here to remind you, friend, that God's grace is what you need to get you through that time of suffering. It doesn't make a difference how great or how small you perceive your suffering to be. The Bible tells us that God's grace is sufficient for you. You know what I've come to find out, friend, and this is a growth point. This is a learning process for me, something that I am still learning, and I'm prefacing that to tell you because I have not mastered the art of this. I'm learning to realize that, hey, all I need to do is live my life in such a manner that I know I am pleasing God, that I'm doing what God has called me to do, because I may or may not have support that I think that I should have. I may not have your support. Sometimes that's just a fact. Hey, you know what? Sometimes pastors just have to make decisions. They don't always have the support. I know this is going to sound funny, but you know what? Even with that sound booth, there's about four or five different ideas on how to do that sound booth that I got. And don't take this wrong, church. Eventually, I just have to make a decision and just get it done. So if it's wrong, blame me for it. Amen? I'm just using that as an example. Because everybody has a, we ought to paint it this color. I've just learned I really don't go around and asking people's opinion on paint because everybody has different ideas. I eventually just pick one and I just go with it. Amen? So sometimes we don't always have support. Now, I'm using that as a simple illustration, but sometimes it's worse than that. Amen? You know, sometimes I realize it takes time. It takes time to pastor some people. Say, well, you're our pastor, but that doesn't mean that you're letting me pastor you yet. I am serving you as your pastor, but it doesn't mean that you have allowed us to be your pastor. Now think about that for just a second. All I'm saying, friend, is I have learned. Hey, friend, not everybody supported our decision to move across the country. Amen. I'm talking about family included. But you know what we need? We need the grace of God. We need the support of God. We need to know that what we're doing is what God called us to do. And friends, some days I don't like it, but that's just going to have to be what I need to get me through. And it really makes no difference whether I have the support of everybody in the church. It makes no difference whether I have the support of everybody in my family. It doesn't make a difference if I have the support of every preacher in the country. Friend, at the end of the day, I'm going to answer to God for how I live my life. And I can't use that as an excuse to not follow through on God's calling in my life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God's grace will get you through. And today, maybe all you need is to know and reminded that His grace is sufficient for you. So God's grace is sufficient in suffering. Let me also show you Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The apostles went through a time of persecution. They went through a time of suffering just to proclaim the Word of God. But I really love that part that says, great grace was upon them all. You know what I truly believe? That in times of suffering, in times of heartache, in times of trial, if you give that to God, and I mean truly give it to God, because we don't like to do that. In fact, sometimes I feel like we use this circumstance that we don't like as an excuse to not do the work of God, as an excuse to not serve as we should. The Apostle Paul or the apostles had every opportunity to say, well, you know, we just can't preach. We were told not to preach. We were told that if we preach, we'd be put in jail, we'd be bound, all these things. But friend, the Bible says great grace was upon them all. And they were witnesses and they continued to proclaim, they continued to declare the gospel, even despite the opposition that they faced or whatever suffering that they endured. Great grace was upon them. So we see that God's grace is also sufficient in suffering. You know where else I believe that God's grace is sufficient in? Number four this morning, God's grace is sufficient in stress. God's grace is sufficient in stress. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many will say, Pastor, even this week, I've been stressed out. I'll put two up for you. I've been stressed out. I want to share something, church. Listen, don't nobody take this wrong. But it's stressful to work a full-time job that is very demanding and pastor a church at the same time. It is stressful. And in fact, that's one of the things I'm framing, because something has got to change. I'm a marathon runner, and I realize one of the keys to running a marathon is to pace yourself. Say, what do you mean? Because if you go out too fast, you burn out. You know what your natural pace is. You know what the train that you, whatever pace that I train. I can't run another man's race. I can't run as fast as that guy. When I run a marathon, I'm not running as fast as most of the people out on the field. I'm running my race. And I am realizing, friend, that if something doesn't change, I'm not going to be able to keep up at this pace. Are you with me? It's stressful sometimes. I didn't say that I was angry about it. I didn't say that we don't care or we don't love and we have no desire to serve. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that it's stressful sometimes. The Apostle Paul said himself that the care of all the churches was upon him. Hey, friend, don't tell me that he didn't deal with stress in the ministry. I remember a preacher one time saying that the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. And boy, was he right. And sometimes we think, well, Pastor, if we had more people, we'd have more help, we'd have more finances. Can I give you a secret? People come with problems. More people bring more problems. Amen? So that's not necessarily the answer. All I'm saying is that sometimes life is stressful. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, God's grace is sufficient in stress. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's a great lesson there. I don't have time to expound on that right now. But verse number 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So in verse 1, he's talking about being strong in the grace. In verse 3, he's describing it and relating it to the hardness of a soldier. I can't imagine the stress that soldiers are in sometimes when they're at war. You know, think about some of the situations that they're put in. They might be put in a situation where literally bullets are flying past their head. Don't tell me that's not a stressful situation. Even the bravest of soldiers, that's stressful. Knowing that the next step could be your last. They're put in situations where they're driving through fields or deserts and a bomb could just go off at any time. That's an intense situation. When they're trained, they're put in stressful situations to help prepare for those type of circumstances. There's many other jobs that they do the same thing to prepare, to train. Those are stressful situations. But here the Bible describes it and illustrates it as a soldier to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But he starts off by saying, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm just trying to remind you, church, that God's grace is sufficient even during the stress. I'm not telling you you're not going to have to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm very confident that you will. I'm confident that today some of you have problems. You walked into this building hoping to get something from God. You're suffering. You're dealing with a stressful situation. And I realize that you're enduring hardness. The Bible says to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let God's grace be what gets you through. In fact, going back to what Paul said, that's exactly what made him strong. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're in that stressful situation, when we're in that suffering situation, that's the time to go all in for God and say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't have an answer. I don't have direction. I don't have the wisdom that I need. You do that today, and then you get up tomorrow morning, and you know what you say? Say, Lord, it's me again. Are you with me? Lord, nothing has changed in my circumstance, but maybe you want to change me. I realize that maybe you're not going to change my circumstance, but maybe you're going to change my heart. Maybe you're going to change my attitude about it. And then you go the next day and say, Lord, it's the same old me again. And you keep going to God because the Bible says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. And friend, for right now, many of you, it's a time of need. You just keep marching yourself right into the throne of grace. Hey, you don't have to get a hold of me. I'm happy to pray with you, but you don't have to go through me, thank God. You can go ahead and go boldly into the throne of grace and find that help and mercy in time of need on your own, friend, to get you through what you need to get through today. Maybe you woke up and you didn't feel right. You know something's not right. Hey, get on your knees before saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm depending on you to make it. I need your strength and I need your grace today. Paul got to the place where he realized that he didn't have the sufficiency within himself. He didn't have the power within himself. He didn't have the answers within himself. He didn't have the knowledge within himself. He didn't have the strength in himself. But he said, in weakness, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul realized that his weakness, giving it to God, is what actually made him strong. And he started to change his perspective on it. Now, did you notice in the text, the Bible says that he talked to God about that thing. He said, for this I besought the Lord thrice. That means that, hey, he went to the Lord to take away that thorn in the flesh. And apparently God's answer was no. We have a belief that every time we pray that God's going to give us a yes. That's not always true, friend. Sometimes he does. Sometimes God's gracious enough that he will. But you know what? God's still gracious even if he doesn't, because he's giving you the grace to get through it. The Bible says that he talked to the Lord about it. He went to God about it. For this, verse number 8, for this I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Remember, we just said a second ago that it was given to him. God put that burden on him. God put that thorn in his flesh. You know, when you think about the thorn in the flesh, it also reveals to us not just what it is, but where it's at. You're talking about hurting your flesh, hurting you in a personal way. God, take this away. No, you're going to live with it. And sometimes we're spending our lives and thinking, well, this is going to have to change. No, God may just be saying, you're going to have to learn to live with it. If we study the text more, there's some other reasons why I believe in verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So obviously part of the reason for the thorn of the flesh, I think one was for the dependency on God. But number 2, so that Paul didn't get too proud of himself. Lest I should be exalted above measure. God allowed Paul to have this thorn in the flesh so he didn't get too big for his britches. Are you with me? Lest I should be exalted above measure. I mean, he even said in verse number 6, for though I would desire to glory. He was pretty honest about it. I shall be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Then he goes on and talks about the thorn of the flesh. Then he goes on to talk about this thing that he sought the Lord about. So obviously that thorn of the flesh was given to him. And maybe today, friend, that thing that you is preventing you from moving forward in your life, that thing that is preventing you from serving God in the capacity that he wants you to serve, we're sitting here waiting for God to take it away, but maybe God is trying to tell you to learn to live with it. God's grace is sufficient in stress. I mentioned today that God's grace is sufficient in salvation. God's grace is sufficient in sin. God's grace is sufficient in suffering. God's grace is sufficient in stress. The last thing I want to mention is that God's grace is sufficient in service. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able. Quick reminder, we may not be able, but God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now friend, when we're thinking about our service, we're just thinking about going on for the work of God, for the glory of God. And we get to the place where we think, I can't do it. Paul was making a reference to his past. He said, I'm not worthy. because I persecuted the church of God. He's the least. He considered himself the least of the apostles. Another place, he considered himself the chiefest of sinners. Paul realized he wasn't worthy. He's thinking about his past. And if you think about it, oftentimes our greatest hindrance or our greatest hindrance to service is our past. What's happened in our past? I appreciate this morning somebody in Sunday school had a question. And boy, I loved it. Listen real close. The question was, Pastor, I don't feel like I deserve salvation. Is that normal? I said, buddy, you got it. Because none of us deserve salvation. In fact, if you get to the place where you think that you do deserve it, that's abnormal. But you see, the question was, I don't feel like I deserve salvation. And the truth of the matter is, none of us here deserve salvation, friend. None of us here deserve the grace of God. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So often the greatest hindrance, as we said, is our past. Maybe it wasn't something that you did. Maybe it was something somebody else did. But by the grace of God. Hey, listen. The scripture says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Always having all sufficient in all things abound to every good work. Friends, stop letting the past hinder you for your service for God, because God's grace is sufficient even in your service. Let me give you a couple things I'm about through. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. You ever been somewhere? And boy, maybe it's grandma's house. And they don't let your plate be empty. And boy, they just keep giving and giving. Or they just keep refilling your cup and refilling your cup. And boy, they just seem like they just don't run out. Hear this thought, but he giveth more grace. God doesn't run out. Pastor, I feel like I used up that grace the other day. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You realize, friend, that maybe what you need today is to bring yourself to the place of humility, and you realize that I've been trying to do it in my own strength. I didn't really think I was that bad of a person. I can't get over my past. Whatever the case may be, but he giveth more grace. You have to come to the place where you realize that, God, I cannot move forward on my own. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. He giveth more grace. Part of that humility, I believe, is bringing that to the Lord, like the Apostle Paul learned when he was weak, he was made strong. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Let me give you this story. Sir Edwin Landseer, one of the most famous painters of the Victorian era, had a talent that developed early. He had his first showing of his work of art at the Royal Academy when he was only 13 years old. He was commissioned to do a number of portraits for the royal family and even gave private drawing lessons to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. But he was best known for his depictions of the natural settings in the life of the Scottish Highlands. One day he was visiting a family in an old mansion in Scotland, and one of the servants spilled a pitcher of soda water, leaving a large stain on the wall. While the family was out that day, Landseer remained behind. Using charcoal, he incorporated the stain into a beautiful drawing. When the family returned, they found a picture of the waterfall surrounded by trees and animals. He used his skill to make something beautiful out of what had been an unsightly mess. God works in much the same way in our lives. The things that we think of our weakness and handicaps can, through His grace, become our greatest strengths. And the very things He uses the most to bring glory to Himself, God's grace provides the strength to meet every challenge and overcome every weakness. So when you see in this picture here, when you're in a tight spot and you allow God to work through you and you give it to God and you realize that God's grace is all you need, then you're all right, Brother Dana, go ahead. Then you realize what it is that God is actually trying to do in your life. He's trying to make a beautiful creation out of you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And just like the story that we started off with the butterfly and the cocoon, it didn't become what God designed it to be. And friend, if we just try to avoid it, if we try to sidestep it, you will never, ever become what it is that God wants you to be. Because God wants you to be a beautiful creation for His glory. When I see that beautiful butterfly, I think of God's majestic design and beauty. God designed that. But that butterfly didn't become so beautiful without going through a little suffering. That butterfly didn't become so beautiful without going through some struggles in their life. But look at what God did. And look at what God's trying to do in you. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. You're in a tight spot. God's grace is sufficient for you, dear friend. Would you, for the next few moments, turn your weakness into a strength? Turn your heartache into a victory? Turn your trial into a triumph? God is trying to do something magnificent through you in your life. But friend, you have to give it to God. And maybe just accept the fact that God won't remove the thorn, but He's trying to do something through the thorn. The thorn that was given to you. Maybe God's teaching us to live with it. Accept it. We focus so much on often what we lost, and we miss what we could gain if we give that over to God. Whatever your need is, friend, would you give it to the Lord today? Friend, this is critical. I'm going to ask you a very important question. Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'll go to heaven when you die? In fact, if say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you slip up your hand as a testimony before the Lord? Say, Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Thank God, by the grace of God, I've been saved. Thank you. Beautiful sight. You may put your hands down. Hands went up all over the room. But you know, my fear is not every hand went up. Say, Pastor, I'm here today and I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Dear friend, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is all you need today. So if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed, friend. We're going to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? I couldn't lift my hand a moment ago. Pray for me, Pastor. Anybody? I'm not sure if I was to die today that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Let me ask this question. Say, Pastor, I've been going through a time of suffering. I've been stressed. There's been sin in my life. I've been struggling with my service to the Lord. And I need God's grace. I need God's grace today or I'm not going to make it through. Who would be willing to admit that today? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need God's grace in my life because His grace is sufficient for me. I need that. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Who else will say that? Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Who else? Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. We need God's grace today. We need the power of God in our life. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we're humbled today. For we are truly not worthy. Lord, we don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your mercy in our life. Lord, we don't deserve salvation as we even discussed this morning. Lord, as far as I could tell, nobody lifted their hand for salvation, but Lord, maybe there still is one. I pray that you would convict them of their need for salvation. But Lord, several lifted their hands today and said, I don't know how I will get through if I don't have the grace of God upon me. And Lord, they need to take to heart the message in the Word that says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, your grace is what's going to get us through. Lord, your grace is all we need. Father, we don't have to have the support of everybody. It sure is a blessing when we do, but Lord, it's not always there. But God, we need your grace. We can't do it without your power and presence in our life. And Father, maybe today you'd help us to learn to accept the thorns in the flesh that you've given us. Lord, if it be your will, help us to learn to live through them. Live despite them. God, help us through. Lord, there's people here today, they need your grace in their life. God, they might just fall out if you don't give them what they need today. Especially those that lifted their hands. God, you know who they are. You know the need. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your blessing upon this church. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated for just one second. For just one second, I just wanted to mention, we're going to be dismissed here. I'm through. Brother Dana, would you share with us for tonight? This evening, church, I want you to come back tonight. It'll be a very challenging message for us. You realize that sometimes there's red lights in life. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but I don't always like red lights. But you know what I've come to find out? That red lights can be a blessing. And so tonight, we're going to look to see why we should love red lights. And I believe in each one of our lives, there's divine red. Do you have that, brother? If not, it's all right. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's all right. But tonight, church, come back tonight. Because maybe there's something that you wanted to do, that you desire to do, you've not been able to do. And God's put a red light in your life. Now, something interesting about red lights aren't permanent. They're temporary. Come back tonight. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Hey, brother. How are you doing? Good to see you this morning.